The chaos you're about to hear in 40 seconds when you realize what's going on brings you.
Pressing record brings you.
Or not pressing record doesn't bring you.
Phoenix City!
Welcome to Phoenix City for another week. Dan Frosty here, and we're going to resume.
Hello.
We're going to pick up our conversation about...
I think we've got to have that conversation again.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it'll be different this time.
Yeah. But we're going to jump straight into some football. The Phoenix beat MacArthur 3-0. We've already discussed half of it. But as we recorded last week, the Phoenix had a bunch of other games that could go their way in order to make the playoffs. And then by the time that I released that episode, and the Phoenix played their game on Friday night, all of those had turned to shit and the Phoenix were out of contention. And then proceeded to put out one of the best performances of the season by any team, really, and won 3-0 over MacArthur.
You guys were also positive when we were recording that last episode as well about us being with the chance.
No, I think I said on that we were relying on like two or three results to go our way, and once that was the case, it was all over. So
yeah, I think we were saying it was like, what is it, a 1-3 or a...
Yeah, it was low percentages.
Yeah, not odds on. So that it didn't come off, I don't think anyone was tremendously disappointed. It was just more disappointment in the fact that there had been other events that had led us down this road where we weren't given, you know, probably our fair, our just desserts.
Yeah. Let's talk about the MacArthur game. It was a solid performance. Just a team who were freed up from the pressure of having to play for playoffs. Like you said before, Dave, playing against a team who had a chance to qualify for a home final.
Yep.
And we just played them off the park 3-0 to the one in Phoenix.
Yeah, no, there was definitely something on the line for them. So it was a game that they wanted to win, and we dominated. I think it was better than a good performance. It was dominant. We were all over them for that entire first half, and they just weren't in the game. And we not only were we dominant, I mean, admittedly it took us a while to get the goal, but we were playing really nice football. It was lots of one touch kind of triangles, building up really nice play. The only thing that was missing was the ball hitting the back of the net. But it was probably some of the prettiest football we've played all year. And I think I tweeted this during the game. It was almost frustrating because at this point we knew we weren't going to play playoffs football, but we looked genuinely like a team out there who would be title contenders. You know, this was probably one of the best performances we've seen in the A-League this season from a team. We've seen a lot of pretty dire football this season, and there's been reasons for that. I mean, the budgets are down, COVID's been a weird scenario for everyone, and the football hasn't been great, but we genuinely looked good.
And the difference, I think, between this team and we've seen Nick's teams put out really good performances like this, but the difference is that they would have shelled a goal at the end of a 45 minutes of dominance and we would have been behind the eight ball. And this team never got that feeling. It's like really good teams, you just know, even if the goal hasn't come, it is going to come.
I got the feeling that we were going to hit it at nil all, and that was going to be the travesty, the fact that we didn't get a goal in that first half. But
even then, I didn't feel like, even if we go in at nil all, that we are going to lose this.
Yeah, the Knicks of old would have gone in at nil all and come out and shipped five in the second half. And
they would have shipped one in the 45th minute and just... That would have been classic everyone next goal.
Yeah. But instead, we didn't. We had a great goal from Ball set up by Hamed, which was just icing on the cake of that first half and well deserve it.
That was a divine touch by Hamed. I mean, that the no look back heel to the spot and Ball hitting it first time, that is beautiful football.
My only complaint about the goal is I don't think Hamed should have started. But that's just me.
Why not?
Once the season's gone, play the kids.
Yeah.
Waino should have got 90 minutes here for mine.
It was an interesting call to play essentially the same team we've been running the whole time.
Well, was it Hamed trying to get Hamed across the line for his signature?
Maybe.
Well, Davia played as well. And so
exactly. You had options to be playing some kids here rather than playing some guys who were probably one foot out the door. And we know Uli gone.
Yeah.
Hamed sounds probably like he's gone as of today. We obviously didn't know that at the time, but I think you should have given the kids more minutes here. Waino is having a blinder of a season. Why not give him 90 here in a game where he could have shown his wares even more, give him some confidence. But Hamed, that touch, phenomenal. So I'm not going to complain about that, but I wouldn't have had him starting.
Yeah, to be fair, I was a little reticent about him playing ball in this game just because that knee is so short.
I mean, you guys last week said that if things are on the line, we play everybody. If things aren't on the line, we drop ball, we rest him. We might not play Devere because he's leaving. And Uli just didn't listen to the podcast, apparently, because he just played the same team. And so I think he was just out there to get the 3 points in a dominant performance game. Sorry, Ufi. I said Uli, but I meant Ufi.
Yeah, I mean, Ufi, one thing is he is very loyal to his players, and he likes playing a consistent team. And you can't mark him down for that.
No.
But yeah, as you say, it would have been nice. It would have been nice to see McGarry get a bit more of a run in maybe a wingback spot, not wingback, in an advanced spot rather than, you know, the roving fullback. Sutton playing a little bit further forward, maybe. I don't know. I don't know who else is old even over there.
I'm not sure if he travelled.
I thought he had, but I wasn't sure.
He had previously. I don't know whether
he travelled over for the Wanderers game because they're coming straight back. I don't know if they took him over permanently, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if he was there, that was the sort of game that you should be kind of like just going, yep, drop him in.
Yeah.
But again, Ufi we trust.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're not going to slate the guy for it, that's for sure, but it would have been nice to see. Knowing our season was over and we've had such a successful season for some of those kids, it would have been a chance to go, you know what, this game doesn't matter, let's try something and give some of those guys who haven't had extended minutes or have had minutes but not necessarily in their preferred roles and that kind of stuff, go, you know what, we can try anything here and it's not going to matter. And if you end up going down by a bunch of goals, it wouldn't have mattered. And if it comes off massively, fantastic. Those kids take some confidence into the off season, and you know what you're working with the next year. Yep. Great.
It mattered a little bit because we were trying to, and it was a very unlikely situation that we would do this, but trying to stay in an automatic qualifying spot for the FFA Cup. That was what was on the line, whether you care about that or not.
Well, and realistically, the Phoenix have been, well, pre-Ufi, we've been very realistic about the fact we don't care about that. It's more of an annoyance than anything, but it does give you some preseason games.
It's preseason games. So you get one guaranteed preseason game against A-League, and then if you win it, you get a second one, which is great. And it's under competitive, what's the word I'm looking for? Match fitness, intensity.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing from it. And so we get that this time, which
the travel and stuff during that time of preseason, definitely operational staff have talked about being a problem.
Right.
It's not, you know, there are pros and cons for sure, but it's not a massive bonus like it might be if you were already based over in Australia, etc. You know, it's an hour long trip or whatever. Instead, it's actually a few days out of everything you want to be doing.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
And for me, it's the advantage of playing further on in the competition isn't actually that much anyway, because you're playing against the NSL teams that, you know, they've already got match fitness.
We can never host a home game, all of that
we
stuff.
We won't get past the round 16 anyway. You know, anyway, let's bring it back to the football, because we scored a goal like 1 minute before half time, and then we came back after break and scored a goal within 1 minute of the break as well. This was Hamid's goal that he got, which again, fantastic.
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a travesty by MacArthur, but
hey, you take what you get.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that he was on the spot and it was a very tidy pull down finish, sending the keeper the wrong way. Yep. It was. Everything you want from number nine. Takes the easy ones.
And it was game over at that point. Like, there was no way MacArthur were getting back in it 2-0.
They hadn't fired a shot all game, I don't think.
They had 13 shots, only three were on target. I don't know when they were, but
it didn't feel like they... I mean, I don't know that Sale had to put in a decent save. I can't remember one.
There might have been a one that you expect him to make, but nothing out of the
ordinary. I don't think there's anything that had him particularly worried from memory.
Yeah, and it was it just shows you how one-dimensional they were all season, relying on Derbyshire.
Yeah.
But when you've only got one striker who's getting all your goals, you've got to have a solid defence. And the fact that we were able to penetrate a decent defence, yeah, I think that bodes well, or would have boded well if we were managing to keep two of our better players, two of our visa attackers. But, you know, it's just a shame that the season didn't quite work out.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah. I mean, we had a conversation a few months ago about how we thought no chance of making six. So the fact we finished in... Did we finish seventh?
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty darn good considering. We all thought, you know, we were going to be pushing the bottom.
We were
not spooners, but we were going to be, you know, down there and no chance at the six. We came down to basically the final game and we were in the mix. So we did better than we expected, and we certainly showed some flashes of really, really good football this season. As you say, with some of the guys we're losing, there's a bit to replace there, but hopefully there's budget to do it too. And certainly we're seeing Oofy's success this season in developing some of those youth players. We've seen a lot of young Kiwi kids come through and actually show their wares, whereas previously it's been a real mixed bag. This season, I think it's been mostly success rather than mostly failures.
Well, I mean, I'm stroke. We were talking about it on our Slack channels that, you know, the success he's having, one with the junior players, that they're all firing, including the guys we're getting over from Australia, the young fellas like Laws and Devlin. But also the fact that the last couple of years, we have been picking absolute winners for visa players.
Yet to fire a blank on imports, whereas we used to fire one or two every season.
Two and three every season.
Yeah. Who would the worst one be for the Phoenix right now? Who you got? You've got Ball, Devia, Taylor, Himid, and do we have a fifth? Maybe we don't.
No.
Some listeners are going to be like screaming at us in their ears right now.
I mean, I feel like there is, but I honestly can't tell you who it is.
No, I can't think of it. Anyone?
Yeah, well, they're the shit one. But yeah, from those four, they're all bang on starters, key parts of the team, boom.
Yeah, I mean, Hamid would be probably have had the weakest season of all four of those, but you'd still give him well above a pass mark for a visa player.
He's the form player on the team right now, scoring one goal in every two games and setting something up.
Exactly.
And then the other one. So.
And you look at the guys that, you know, we've lost previously, you know, guys like Steinman.
Yeah.
And we'd have him back in a heartbeat. Sounds like he's going to Brisbane, which is a real shame because he would have been brilliant. But, you know, I can't think of.
I mean, Hooper was the one that left, and Hamed still back.
He came right, really well.
Yep,
quality player.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're getting four or five guys a year.
Who do we forget, Dave?
No one. There's currently four. Great, it's cool, fine.
Great. Awesome.
It's fine.
Great.
Or at least according to the Wikipedia, there is no one listed under another flag.
That's pretty much up to date.
Kiwis and Australians, though. I'm going to trust that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. So you think about the players that we've managed to recruit, it does bode well. I mean, you know, there's obviously rumours going around that we've recruited for one, but presumably,
Well, I haven't heard those rumours.
Do you want to tell us about that rumour?
Oh, yeah. You've so heard it. I don't know if it's substantial.
I know. I even told it to you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's substantiated at all.
What's the rumour?
I don't think it's that we've signed a player.
No, but what's the rumour?
Oh, well, the word is from a certain source within the club that we're already looking at another South American player to replace Uli, and he's better than Uli.
Great, if that's the case.
But yeah, my understanding is that is not a done deal, but it's reasonably advanced. They're certainly in talks, and it's not someone who's known to the league. You know, it's bringing in a new face again.
Yeah,
and Roma is
perfect.
Better than Uli. So if that's true, well, great.
Speaking of Uli, his new club tried to foul him off the field and break his ankle.
I thought that was interesting.
Loic Puyo went in for a studs up challenge on him on his knee. Essentially, as they were challenging for the ball, Uli kind of kicks the ball away and then studs straight into the knee, given a yellow card on the field, and then VAR intervenes and gives a red. What's the take on this around the room? We'll talk about this one specifically first.
Yeah, I don't think he was trying to tackle Uli. He was playing at the ball.
I agree.
And it was very orange.
I can see an argument for orange. Orange doesn't exist.
Yeah,
out of red and yellow, it's red, in my opinion. It studs into the knee.
It's very dangerous.
I think it sits right on that line between the two that I actually don't mind either way.
Yep.
I think VAR involving themselves and saying, you should have a look at this, I'm comfortable with. If the ref had looked at it and gone, I think I'm sticking with my yellow, I wouldn't have been too aggrieved.
Yep.
But the fact he's upgraded, I'm also very comfortable with.
Yeah,
I think this is one of those ones where different referees might see it slightly differently.
I would have loved to see the expression on the coach's face.
Ante Milicic.
Oh, that would have been brilliant. It's like, what the?
The fact that we watched it so much on VAR and the referees were looking at it in depth, it kind of gave the impression that we were heading towards a red card the whole way.
Well, and this is the one, was this the one where the commentators were basically, one commentator was saying, it's red, he's going. Read. And was it Bozza might have been saying, I don't think you can give a red for this. I think someone else in the box is saying, you can't give a red for that, can't give a red for that, can't give a red for that. And then he was horrified when a red was given. I was like, you definitely can give a red for that. Like,
and this is the A-League.
This is very much in the territory where if you're the player and you're seeing that on the big screen, you're worried rather than going, I'm completely safe.
Yeah. I think it was a red. I think it endangers the opponent. There was no intention there. I don't believe for a second that he was trying to injure.
No.
Early.
Agreed.
It was accidental. Still a red. You can still injure someone and cause major damage, especially with the touch on like that. The second one is much more interesting. Where the, who was it? I Googled this before so I could tell you, and then my phone turned off. Moody Naya on Clayton Lewis, 20 minutes later or so, when he's sliding through, gets the ball, and then studs straight into Clayton Lewis's planted ankle. Yep. Again, shown a yellow, and again, VAR intervenes.
Yep.
But I think this one is so much more red than the first one.
I totally agree. This one is red.
Yeah.
There is no argument for me in which this is a yellow card. This is a red card.
Yeah.
This is the ref going, I don't want to give two reds.
Yep. That's what I think happened.
It's a human impulse.
Yeah.
But it is so wrong.
He had I think the initial yellow is that. The initial showing a yellow rather than showing a red straight away is that. But when you have the time to take a step back from that, watch a replay, take as much time as you want, because you're allowed at that point in the process, you have to be showing a red here.
Yeah,
I agree.
The only reason that I can see why you wouldn't be showing a red is because the foot comes down onto the turf and bounces off. That's the only way I think you can look at it to make an argument that is more accidental than the first one and therefore it's slowing down, something like that. But I don't believe that for a second.
I think to call it a bounce might be generous too.
I agree.
You could argue he raises his foot after it hits the ground. Yeah. I mean, your feet don't bounce off the ground.
And I just want to make it known that I'm much more on your camp, Dave, than whatever I was just saying.
Well, don't put me in someone else's camp.
And you as well. But like, that is the only way that I can see a referee going, I don't think this is red.
Yeah. I think, but the thing is, if it doesn't bounce, it's still hurtling and studs up and it's just taking slightly lower on the ankle is all.
Yeah.
This is a red card.
It's a red card. And I understand the first red card being upgraded by VAR. That is consistent with what we've seen this season. The second one blows out of the water completely. Yep. It's like the Castro handball the week before. All season, we've seen that given. And then all of a sudden, referees deciding to not even look at it via VAR. Like, absolutely bizarre. So, yeah, it's interesting. Thankfully, this one didn't have an effect on the game whatsoever. The game was long gone by then.
Correct.
But the referee's got to be getting that right.
Yeah, that's a fundamental thing.
Might have an effect on the next game.
Yeah, but
true.
Still.
Absolutely true.
But it's kind of like, if you saw that in a local game, local club football, non-professional, you'd be like, Jesus, what is the ref playing at? This game is going to escalate, get out of control, because if he gets away with that, you better believe another one's coming back in the other direction. It's just rubbish refereeing.
Yeah.
And I think the thing for me as well is, much as I do believe your I don't want to give a second red card mentality plays into it, because, you know, there is the stupid narrative out there about refs ruining the game, and, you know, I think it's more prevalent in things like rugby than it is in football, but it definitely exists in sport, of people don't like seeing games ruined by red cards, whatever. You've set the standard with what a red card is with that first one you've already given. There was no intent, but there was contact, studs, high on the leg. You've got another situation, studs, contact, too high on the leg. Red card. Has to be.
Yeah.
For internal consistency with the decision you've already made, this has to be read as well.
And I don't understand it with VAR coming into play. I would get it if he didn't look at VAR, or if VAR didn't get in touch with him. I'd get it. I'd understand why you give a yellow here. But with all the time in the world to look at that monitor and see exactly what we were seeing on TV, we were seeing the VAR looped footage. It wasn't Fox's own replays that were showing us. We were seeing what they were seeing on the VAR screen. Looking at that, you have to give a red. But anyway, didn't affect the game because we went in and we scored another goal. So that was good fun. Louis Fenton tactfully avoiding giving an offside offence by just leaving the ball for Ben Wayne to come through. Who played the cross across? Somebody played Ben Wayne. I want to say it's...
I
should look this up. Maybe it is Sutton. The Stuff article that I have up doesn't tell me, so that's not helpful. But yeah, anyway, Louis avoids touching it, cross comes in, Ben Wayne puts it back of the net, VAR gets involved, rules that Louis had nothing to do with it, again, correct decision, and goal.
Yeah, I think Louis managed to get across the line of Wayne and the goalkeeper.
Did Wayne just tap it in from that touch? Is that what happened?
No, he kind of brought it down. Louis went running off to the left and got out of the way, and Wayne taking that touch has given Fenton chance to clear. The keeper's got a good look at it, and he's basically screwed. So.
Yeah. Fenton didn't distract the goalkeeper at all.
If Wayne had hit it straight away, then you can make an argument that didn't.
Hey, 3-0. What a night.
Yeah.
I believe 100% that if we were in with the running to make the playoffs, we would have tanked this game. We would not have won it 3-0 if there was anything riding on it.
Old Phoenix,
because that's the Phoenix I know and love. Yeah. I don't love that part about the Phoenix, but I love them.
That old Phoenix, without a doubt, they would have found a way to butcher it. However, you kind of look at some of the numbers that are coming out, and again, the stats, you know, was it lies, damn lies, and statistics? Things like Stevie Taylor, his record went since he's been back. The games that we've won, the scores that have come through, Sutton is the same. It's the number of times. It's like 15 or 16 games. It ceases to be a coincidence when it's happening every time. So I mean, those numbers are pretty telling.
I mean, maybe. Well, it's probably a coincidence.
It's less likely.
Yeah,
but certainly once you're getting into those 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 games, that they are. You know, what is it? Undefeated.
No, I think we're undefeated with Stephen Taylor in the lineup, and it might be we've never lost with Sutts in the lineup or something like that.
They're the same thing.
Sutts, I think it might have been once in 16 games.
Sutton, I believe, has one loss when he come off the bench for 1 minute at the end of the game.
Yeah, that was it. Maybe it's when he starts then, and it's Taylor every time he's
playing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Taylor started every game. He hasn't come off the bench. He got subbed off for the 9th minute of one game, and that's when we lost, I think.
Yeah, it was something like, we definitely lost that game.
Yeah.
But still, there's coincidences and there's statistics, but you know, I think I'd have that.
I think the Sutton one is more of a fun stat rather than actually having that effect on the team. I think Taylor absolutely has that effect on the team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. I think we can say, though, that Sutton has been excellent.
Oh, absolutely. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's not helped the team, but I don't think the reason we haven't lost one of those games is directly because of him. I think Stephen Taylor is the difference.
I don't know. I think Sutton has provided a little bit going forward and a little bit going back, so it's kind of you lose the visibility that Taylor has.
Yeah. Was he worth a goal per game in all the games he drawed, though?
No.
I'd say that Taylor was.
You see, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I think he was outstanding, and I think he was great there. He was exactly what you want from an old pro centre-back.
Yep. Yep.
Stable, efficient, really good communicator, and I think that would have helped Sutton no end. But, I mean, I quite rate this kid. I think for someone to go in from a youth player as a defensive midfielder, just drop out to fullback, that is a tough transition.
We've seen a lot of players fail at that for the Phoenix.
Absolutely miserable.
I agree. I rate him highly, but I think the reason Pat wants to credit Taylor with more is because of that leadership role he plays. I don't think Sutton's out there bossing a back line, whereas I do think Steve Taylor, when he's on the field, is commanding not only his entire back line, but the defensive mids in front of him. You know, he is telling everyone where to be, and he is organising that entire defensive unit. Sutton is playing a key role in there for sure, but he's not bossing all the guys around him, that's for sure. He is doing an excellent job, and I look forward to see where he goes. But I think Tails, we probably credit with the performances around him as well, purely because of that leadership role. Whether that's fair or not is
totally.
There, but just because of that role.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree.
And all of that has earned him a one-year extension to his contract. He's sticking around for one more year, which is great to see. He'll probably retire at the end of that year, I imagine. We'll wait and see. But
he's very, very fit. The only thing that's really an issue is the injury. I mean, his pace has dropped off a little bit, but
he doesn't need it.
Do you reckon he gets the armband next season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets it back, surely.
Even though he's on the way out?
Nah, absolutely. Jura was on the way out when Jura had it for three more years.
we gave Uli the armband, which I think we all agreed was an interesting choice. But
it was to keep him here.
Taylor wasn't in the squad at that point.
No, correct. But you had Roofson as your vice. You've had some other guys in there wearing the armband this season as well. I don't know that Roofson is ready to go to full captain, but
well, he's got to start first.
Someone like Bawley in the mix? Do we look at him? You know, if we're willing to give out the armband to keep players here, is David Ball as captain an option to keep him around?
I don't think David Ball has the ego that requires it. I think Uli probably did.
And that's probably true. Yeah. But do you look at him as a long-term prospect? If this is a guy we want to keep, we want him to move to New Zealand, settle his family, do all that stuff that, you know, we did with the jurors in the past. Is that the view they should take there? I don't know.
Oh, I wanted to come back to the Early thing. I don't think it was Early's ego. Someone pointed out to me, and I don't know if it was one of you guys, probably it was you, Dave, that giving him the armband gets him extra cap, extra outside the cap, and it means that they can pay him more without blowing out the cap. And that, to me, was a really interesting theory because he's not a natural leader. He his English is not great.
And I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but to the best of my knowledge, there is no captains outside the salary cap rule.
Okay. Well, I will stand corrected. This was just a theory that was positive to
me. Yeah, it definitely didn't come from me, but I wouldn't be surprised. It certainly wouldn't be the captain's salaries outside, but there might be
a bonus.
There's all those weird additional payments you can make. Maybe there is one for a captain's, I'm not sure. That
in a juror era, there was some kind of bonus or something.
Juror was outside the cap because he had been here for more than 5 years.
Prior to that happening. I'm quite sure there was.
Juror might have been Australian Marquee at one point in time when that was a thing in his early years, but there was definitely no – the only things you could get away with when Juror was in his early years was your under 20 players being outside the cap and your Marquees and your –
It wasn't early years. It was just before he got that long time.
Yeah, they've put in the things about long-standing players where you can start moving percentages of their salaries outside and stuff. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a captaincy thing, but I don't know of one.
I don't think there is. But hey, it's a thing. I think it goes to Stephen Taylor. But
I think so too. But I also think we do need to, if realistically we're thinking Taylor has one, let's say maybe two, let's say maybe it's a one plus one.
Yeah.
You know, you need to start thinking about who your captain is after Tails, and we need to nail that down. I think we all agree Roofs isn't ready. Do we think Roofs is ever going to be ready, or do we think we need to start rethinking that? I don't know.
Well, but I mean,
that's a conversation they will need to have next year, because if they're giving it to Tails, whoever Vice is really needs to be a guy they're planning on having stepping up.
Does it really matter? We saw Taylor play half of the season here, commanding the team without the armband. Does it really matter who has it?
No, it doesn't. But you do need some hierarchy and leadership group. Now, Tails is going to be part of that whether you give him the armband or not.
True.
Which is why I would argue maybe it is time to think about what that structure looks like long term.
Should we talk about other games and the nature of where that's put us on the table?
No, the season's finished.
Yeah.
We're done.
There's playoff football. It'll be interesting. I'll watch it, but I don't care about it.
Yeah. Andrew Vorman, friend of the pod, has put out an article this week. Was it yesterday? The day before. Where the headline is, was this Wellington Phoenix team the best team ever to miss the A-League playoffs? And the answer, in my opinion, is a resounding yes.
I mean, that's a very specific question. So the answer to that question is yes. Do I think it's the best Phoenix team ever would be a much more interesting question rather than is it the best one to ever miss out on playoffs? Absolutely yes. Usually we miss out on playoffs, we're rubbish. And sometimes when we make it in, we're rubbish. Yeah. You know, we squeak in with a trash team who don't deserve
to be
there.
Is that in previous years we've snuck in and we all go, we're going to sneak in, but we're going to lose in round one of the playoffs. This time, I think I genuinely believe we had a shot at winning the thing.
Yes.
Genuinely believe that. And if we had won that game against Perth, we would have had a home playoff.
Yep.
And having the team back in Wellington, probably with fewer people than 24,000, but like imagine a bunch of those people came back and you had 15,000 people.
I reckon you would have got 20.
Yeah, close. But imagine that for a playoff. And so there was a good chance we win that and go deep. So I think it's really, absolutely. There's a lot of them in the season, the red card, the loss to the Jets, all that kind of thing. That's a really hard question because I want to say yes, but the reason
to what?
To the fact that they are the best Phoenix side that we've ever had. But the reason I can't is because they didn't make the playoffs.
Yep. And this is what I was going to say. If we're going to start ranking Phoenix teams of all time, you would have to weight some value in there for making playoffs, right? You'd have to.
Absolutely.
And this team, despite being exceptionally good, I think do not come in the top because they didn't make the playoffs.
I would say that the last year where we came third was a better team because we came third and we got hit by COVID and that was shit, but that was a better team because the league position showed it at the end of the season.
Yep. And I think as well last year, if we hadn't had the COVID break, we were in that same position where it felt like we had a team who genuinely could have won the darn thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
COVID for whatever reason, we never got that mojo back. It just didn't come back. Yeah. And we, you know, we can't fix that now. It is what it is. But if we'd kept playing right through, I reckon we were in with a chance. And so it would be really hard to rank this team on a proper scale. But if the question is it the best team to ever not make the playoff? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can certainly make an argument just by the fact that we've played 24 away games.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix have never done well in away games. And we certainly didn't do, I mean, this year, I think it's maybe the first time we've done better in away games than home.
There's been one other season where we won like 8 or 9 away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But certainly nothing like this season. Yeah. Absolutely. And
across the A-League, that kind of number plays out.
And what's the undefeated run at? What did we end at?
11 games undefeated. Yeah.
And which was the previous one was like 8 or something, wasn't it?
Certainly not as high as 11. Yeah.
And that would have been the momentum you were taking into playoffs. You know, damn it.
Yeah. I know. It's bullshit. The whole thing is bullshit. I mean, we finished in the bottom half of the table. It's not as bad in a year where the bottom 4 teams missed out, like the old 10-team league. There are half the league missed out on playoffs, but it's just so bullshit.
I mean, it's not bullshit because the numbers we didn't get the points.
Yeah. It is what it is. It is valid. I'm not questioning the validity of us not making the playoffs. I'm just annoyed, and that's what's bullshit.
Yeah. Just the fact that, you know, I mean, it's not even that.
You've got MacArthur in there. We just trousered them 3-0.
Yeah.
And they're playing plus. Brisbane's in there who played a game against Adelaide that just was a terrible game of football. They're not fun to watch.
No, the other thing is the bottom
haven't
two
been good.
I know.
The bottom two teams, we lost to them.
Yeah.
So let's not be kind of missing and glossing over the shit stuff.
If we want to talk about things that are bullshit.
Yes, we do.
How did Victory not have the spoon?
Oh, my God.
Like, unbelievable scene.
Yeah. Look at their goal difference. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, minus 20 something. Yeah.
Now, see this. If I was a fan of a different club, I would be screaming that this was bullshit, because this is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
They've got out of jail there is just unbelievable. Yeah, you're right.
Jets minus 29. For the people who weren't watching, they played Melbourne City. Melbourne City were winning 1-0 in the 90th minute. Melbourne City didn't score a goal to make it 2-0, have that ruled out for a correct offside by VAR. And then the 95th minute, additional time because they had a VAR and stoppage time, Melbourne Victory just managed to have a ball bouncing around the back of the net, and then somebody got the roof in the back of the net. Absolutely ridiculous. To be fair, they haven't necessarily not won the spoon here, because Melbourne City could screw them over by letting Jets get a point off them. But absolutely ridiculous.
If City field anyone but their under 5 team, it's an injustice. The Victory have been diabolical.
Yeah.
At least, you know, when we lost to the Jets, I was like, okay, well, the Jets are capable of playing a good game. When we lost to the Victory, I felt homicidal.
The Victory conceded 60 goals in 26 games.
It's insane.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know who else is terrible? Western United. 8 losses to wrap up the season.
What was that stat about, like, conceded 20 goals in 6 games and scored 1?
Wow. Yeah, they scored that penalty against the Victory, didn't they?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that 6-1 loss. They got a penalty.
Diamante's goal in one of those games, one of that run of 6, was his first goal for the season.
Wow. It was that goal. It was that one on that penalty, yeah. But speaking of West United, Mark Redan sacked.
I know you want to be really happy about this.
No, it's
bleep it out.
It's go fun. Bleep it's it. Fun. It's,
but have you clicked that he might be commentating next season now then?
I don't think he's allowed near a media booth.
Surely not. Do you know who works for Channel 10?
Yeah.
The other matches.
Stranger things have happened. Imagine it. Imagine how much worse
you
that will
say
be
stranger,
than him,
I say
coaching.
Stranger danger.
No, thank you. Brisbane Roar beat Perth Glory 2-1. That put us requiring Western Sydney Wanderers to beat Adelaide United. And Western Sydney Wanderers drew 2-2 with Adelaide United. And they had a chance. Jordan Much in like the 85th minute. Literally, the ball got passed to him from a goal kick essentially. And just open goal and absolutely butchers it. Just lets the goalkeeper get in and make a save. And that would have kept us in the league.
Quite open goal, but it was about as open.
Three quarters of the goal that he could have kicked it into, and he took a touch, and the keeper, fair play, desperation got
across. Percentage-wise, he should score this.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
80%, I'd say.
Yes. Just, all he had to do was get it in the air slightly, and that was
if this was for them to make playoffs, their fans would hate him forever for missing that one.
Yeah. Sydney FC beat Brisbane Roar 2-0 and the Central Coast Mariners beat Western United 2-0 as well. Newcastle Jets had a draw with Perth Glory, and that's the game that meant that we could have been fourth if we had picked up two more points in the league somewhere, or one more point, something. And then Melbourne Rugby had that draw with Melbourne City. One game left in the league, which is on Friday night, the Melbourne City versus Newcastle Jets rescheduled game because of the lockdown in Melbourne. That has no bearing on anything other than will the victory finish last? Yeah. So Jets need a point there and they'll avoid the spoon.
Oh, how beautiful would the troll be for City
just let them 1-0. There's nothing in that game. You've got to play a game the next week to be in the playoffs, rest some guys, easy.
Yeah, I would expect them to rest some people, but I also don't think they'll put out nobody.
No,
because I think they'll want to keep some match fitness up and they'll want to give some guys some minutes.
I think
nothing on the line for them.
You rest anybody who's your David Ball, where he's carrying a little bit of a knock and you want him to be good for playoffs. Yeah. So,
And maybe some people you don't want to risk getting kicked.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think, didn't McLaren got a bit of a rest previously, I think. And
he's away on Socceroos duty, isn't he?
Oh, he might be.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So irrelevant there. Playoffs.
You just got wrecked.
Sorry.
Irrelevant. Oh. Moving on.
I couldn't care less.
I've got nothing else to add about Melbourne City, so I was just trying to move us along to the playoffs, which I'll talk about.
We're not going to the playoffs, Pat.
No. Central Coast Mariners hosting Macarthur on Saturday night, 9 PM New Zealand time. And
God, I hope the Mariners absolutely gut them.
And Brisbane Roar hosting Adelaide. Two just bland games of football, surely. That one Sunday at 5 PM New Zealand time. 3 PM Brisbane time I guess it is winter now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to be that warm.
Yeah. The higher ranked out of those teams will play Sydney FC. The lower ranked will play Melbourne City FC the week after. When is those games going to the grand final? Could have been us.
Yep. I mean, let's be honest, the only team that I think gave me any scares in the league was Melbourne City. They're just so cutthroat in front of goal. Mm-hmm. Sydney, not scary this season. Consistent, that's about it. And the rest of those guys, we should have been able to flog.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's the shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it hurts, but, you know, so long as we can get a team to, you know, replace the guys that we need to for next year, and get back in front of a, you know, decent partisan crowd, I think things get interesting again.
Anything else you want to talk about A-League?
The referees are still shit and it's really pissing me off.
I mean, they're not going to get better.
Well, they should.
Okay.
They're professionals.
All right.
Yep. What's made you grumpy this time?
Yeah.
No, they're still shit. That's the point.
Okay.
Okay, Frosty. do you want me to give you a rant here or should we just move along? Is it good for your health if you have a rant here or not?
I don't know, mate. I'm pretty old and blood vessel could
go. I'm a bit worried about you.
But, I mean, in my job, in your job, and your job, we're expected to get better.
Are we?
Yes.
Okay.
Pat, we are.
Oh, sorry.
We are expected to get better. And I would hope that the referees would get better. And that was my mistake, and that's on me. I had hope.
I'm going to cut them a small amount of slack, only because they get paid absolute jack shit and most of them have other jobs.
Yeah.
It's basically a glorified volunteer position. So I cut them some slack for that. If we were at the level we were paying them like you see overseas, I would be more willing to put the boot into them. Because they are very inconsistent and there are some baffling decisions made. But it's basically a volunteer position for the most part. There is some money thrown around at refereeing as a whole for the A-League, but it's nowhere near enough. And that should be fixed. That's where my qualm would be, is the league and FFA need to find some money for referees.
And that takes time as well. Correct. I mean, they brought the three professional refs in six years ago, and you're seeing that the top tier referees in the league are better than they were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But the second tier is just the same as the second first tier was previously, and that's where the problem is. So it takes time to bed that in. Is that enough for you, Frosty?
And VAR is a
sham. VAR was supposed to fix the problem, and that's where you the consistency made it worse. Is. Yeah. The consistency is in who's sitting in the VAR booth. It's usually Chris Jones.
But it's not. It's because, I mean, you know, some of those VARs are getting things right, and the ref's just ignoring them. So all it's doing is providing a second crack at, you know, making a bad decision.
Yeah. Let's move on. Back to New Zealand football. We had a round of the Chatham Cup on Queen's Birthday weekend. I had a quick quiz over this. Not many surprising results. We'll go through them because we can. Wellington Olympic had a 4-1 win over United. Expected.
Which United?
Wellington United, sorry. Expected. Wellington United, Cap Prem team. Swapout 4-1 over Kapiti Coast. Miramar Rangers 5-0 over Havelock North. North Wellington 4-0 over Wainui Mata. That's probably the biggest result, given they're both Central League. Are they both Central League? Are Wainui Central League?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they've got no players, so it's right. Ostensibly a West
reserve. BT. Yeah, that's right. Waterside Karori 3-2 over Tawa. Napier Rovers 4-2 over Wairarapa. Lower Hutt 6-0 over Island Bay. Western Suburbs 4-0 over Upper Hutt. Nelson Suburbs, no, that's not Wellington anymore. So that's the results. Yeah, like I said, no upsets really. Just a stock standard Chatham Cup round.
Yeah, I thought Tawa was doing pretty well.
No, they Cap Prem. Season. No, maybe in Cap Prem, but
yeah,
they're not going to be able to foot it against against Karori, who are playing Central League week in, week out. So yeah, that's that. That's Chatham Cup. I've got nothing else to talk about. Do you guys? We're at like...
No.
We're like 40 minutes, and even if you factor in the bonus 5 minutes we did at the start that nobody's going to hear, we're only at 45 minutes.
It was the best 5 minutes too.
Yeah.
I saved all my best stuff.
Did you?
Yeah.
I heard it.
Wasn't rhythm
it?
Off.
It wasn't that good. You brought the best stuff in.
We'll get them to judge it. Oh, wait, you didn't record it. We'll never know.
Hey, I owned that. I owned up to it. Hannah, at least I discovered it five minutes.
Did you get any feedback on your outro last week? Oh, no. I got some feedback.
Did you?
Listeners on your outro.
My coming into your ears.
Yeah. So someone came up to me at the club rooms on Saturday and said, "Bloody Patrick, that outro was sick." Yep. That's all it was. Didn't comment on anything else about the podcast, but told me it was sick.
Yeah. I had someone message me as they were listening to like the final 10 minutes. They're talking about some things that we were talking about. And I was just waiting. I was just sitting there waiting for them to get to the end. And he got there and suitably unimpressed. I'll see if I can find that message. But I'm sorry, everybody. I want to apologize for that. It wasn't my finest work.
You're here for color, Patrick, and you provide.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
Well, he's the bozzer of the pod.
Ooh, that's a sick burn.
Wow.
Well, if I called him Harper, that'd be even worse, wouldn't it?
Wow.
Meredith.
I'm filling here until he
yeah, he's
it
still
up.
Looking on his phone.
Yeah, looking at it. I can't find it, but anyway.
Which Fox commentator would you be most offended to be likened to?
It's between two of them. Both of them are bald. Robbie Slater.
Okay. We didn't even get to Slater.
No, it's Robbie Slater. Absolutely. Yeah. Harper, I like. Brendan Speed is a utility commentator. He is employed because he can do like six different sports.
He's a tool, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. Archie Thompson is just weird.
He brings a good energy, though.
He does bring a good energy, yeah. So I'll let him slide.
It's good energy.
Yeah. It's if what you get someone who's completely incompetent, like is the Eddie the Eel of the Fox Sports commentator team. Adam Peacock is just a good host, but he got thrust into a commentator role that he wasn't designed to do. Mark Bosnich is a good time. Just those selfies that he keeps posting from the side of the pitch is amazing. I wouldn't like.
Who's the other bald one you didn't mention?
Brendan Speed.
Okay.
Yeah. Andy Harper's fine. Does he still comment over them? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is my justification allowed?
That's fine.
This is very much in worst game of all time territory, this conversation.
Yeah, we have somewhat divulged.
Yeah.
Well, you want to add more content. You were looking up a message and you haven't read it out.
No, I haven't found it. All I found was that the listener, Selwyn, got annoyed that Cam kept calling them rules of the game.
Rules of the game, yeah.
Yeah, not the laws of the game. So that's what it is. But I haven't found...
I think
found...
for technical accuracy, they are rules. They are under no real definition a law.
They are called the laws of the game, but they are rules. Paddy, you dirty dog.
Baiting that hook and throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's worth every bit of it. Yeah.
Paddy, you dirty dog. I love you, mate, but I'm going to say no to the offer to fornicate with my ears. Laughing face on its side, laughing face on its side, laughing face on its side. I'm going to leave you with that this week, everybody. Thank you for listening. It's been another season. We'll come back. We'll come back into your ears next weekend, and we'll do a little bit of a season review. So, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.
See you later, fuckface. Brings you.
Wiping all your USB sticks on your way out. Brings you.
Cam's not here to do the intros. Brings you. The best 5 minutes you'll never hear. Brings you.
A 5 minutes as good as Muratovic's goal. Brings you.
Schrodinger's pod. Brings you.
Hey, I recorded 42 minutes of our 47 that we did. It's not bad. It's not good. It's not good, but it's not bad.
Aren't you a professional?
Yeah, this happens all the time.
I don't think you're involved.